guys, welcome to my 10th episode. This is number 10. Wow, it's been a long time. My name is Georgia, and this is the American Dream Podcast. Enjoy. What? Before we start, today is March 14th, which means I've been gone for almost 3 months now, and I'm so sorry. There has been a lot going on, especially with American Dream, the new drop, and a lot of other stuff in the back scene. But today, we're back, and we have Sergeant Parker Smith, and we're doing something completely different, a interview-style podcast. And I would love to hear you guys' thoughts at the end of this podcast, whether you tag me on Instagram or just DM me, or just leave your feedback at the review section below. All right, welcome everyone. Today we have Sergeant Parker Smith with us for Minnesota Army National Guard, all right? He is also a recruiter for the Army National Guard, obviously, buddy of mine. And we'll be talking, pretty much shooting the shit, talking about military life, recruiting, and his personal life, including how he got promoted to sergeant in 2 years. Welcome to American Dream Podcast. Excited to have you. Let's talk about... Tell me about you. How'd you grow up? Like, where did you grow up? And what's the situation at home? Family, siblings?
Yeah. So, hopefully this doesn't offend anybody. A pretty standard, like, white person, like, background, I guess. I grew up in Minnesota my whole life, unfortunately. No, I'm just kidding. It was pretty good. Only thing that sucks is the snow. Yeah. So I'm like cold. I'm like hot-blooded, but I'm also good in the cold. But yeah, no, I grew up in Minnesota. I've never lived anywhere else. And I've got a brother, sister, 13, 14, and mom and dad.
Any military in your family?
Not immediate. Like, the last I know of was like World War II, like my great grandparents.
Okay, so TBT. All right.
Yeah.
So how did you, like, what interested you in the military? Like, how did you first join? Was it your typical recruiter in your high school situation?
Like, yes and no, I guess, because it was never like, if you would have told me that I was joining the military, even in my junior year, like, I would have probably called you crazy, because mm-hmm. I remember in high school and junior year, actually, we took the SASVAB, like the ASVAB that you can take at school. Uh-huh. And one of our high school was like one of the only ones to do it in the area. And I remember taking it and I was like, well, I'm never going to join the military. So I didn't even try on it.
So and wait, so you to took this day, the test. You took it anyway, but you didn't want to join.
Yeah, because, no, they forced us to. Like, our school made us.
Oh, like it was a graduation requirement?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, something like that. So I was like, whatever, I'll take it. And to this day, I still, like, I need to retake it because I had a good enough, like, score.
Good enough score to enlist, but like, not the greatest.
Yeah, so like I still need to retake it and everything. Like I had to get waivered to go to SQI-4 and all that recruiter school. So, but yeah, I would never have guessed that I would have. I guess like looking back, I can tell. But in the moment, I never would have guessed that I would have joined the military. My plan was to go to a music college and then they shut down. And so this is always in the back of my mind. And I had like 3 friends in the National Guard. So kind of how it came to be.
I see a lot of videos of you like playing the guitar and like singing with your friend. I don't know if you're actually in a band or whatnot, but you guys are actually pretty solid. Like it's pretty good. I saw it on TikTok. I was like, holy shit. Like this guy can actually sing. So that's pretty dope.
Thanks. But, appreciate it.
So what was your initial, so you went, did you do the split training program?
No, I wish I would have, but I joined as a senior. So I joined like 12 days before I graduated. And then
talk about last minute.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And then I shipped in September to OSUT. So I did 1 station unit training at Fort Benning. And then I went from September to January. I graduated. So
that's how. What's your MOS?
Cav Scout 19 Delta. So all the 11 Bravos are going to give me shit, but it's all right.
Yeah. They literally, you guys are like sworn enemies. It's fine.
Yeah.
So what was like your first, so you went to one station unit training. And what was that like? Cause you went from like junior year, not thinking of joining the military, senior year, you literally did it last minute. And then you find yourself in basic training and you kind of have like no other option. Correct me if I'm wrong. Like you just kind of like, I have to fucking graduate this or what?
Yeah, well, like going into, so it's kind of funny, like I said, it's like you kind of pointed out, it's like two extremes where I like definitely didn't see myself where I was, but then once I made the decision, like I was all in. So it's okay. It's funny because I went to like RSP and I was like, I only went to two RSP drills, so recruit sustainment program, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember like coming to my recruiter and being like, yo, I might have made a mistake. Like I kind of want to go active because I hate doing things like, I hate doing them half-assed, right? Like I like to do the full thing.
Right. Like so, when you, something you want to go all in type thing. A lot of people feel that way, by the way, in the National Guard, a lot. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this before.
Yeah, we have. So, and we can get into that. It's kind of like one of the, like later on, that's kind of why I became a recruiter, but that's a different topic for later. But yeah, so I wanted to, like when I got down there, I was super motivated and whatever. Like obviously it sucks, right? It's like a culture shock at first, but then you're in it and like you make the best of the situation that you're in. And yeah,
it was were you able to
two of my friends.
Were you able to like make, I don't want to say make friends, because of course you make friends, but like, did you make solid friends, like people that you can actually like, you know, call to and or like relate to, because, you know, you were into music and stuff like that. Yeah. So were there any other people like that? Kind of like, you know, they wanted to do something different, but, you know, they also did the army at the same time to kind of back up their hobbies.
Yeah. I mean, I think to an extent, the two of like literally my best friends on earth, like my two best friends I met in basic training. Yeah. So like I, like 20 minutes before this call, like I was just FaceTiming one. And we play like Call of Duty all the time. Right. But it's funny. Cause yeah, one of my best friends, Nick, he lives in Wisconsin. So he's in the Wisconsin Guard. And so he's pretty close to me. And we've seen each other like three times since graduating. So it's like, you know, we'll make the trip up there and everything. But yeah, I don't know if, you know, I don't necessarily know completely why they decided to join, but I know that for like our little friend group, it was kind of like a spur of the moment thing, but we all wanted to do it.
Yeah.
I guess we,
the adventure and the, you know what I noticed? Like a lot of the times just kind of like, you don't know what it's about. So you just want to do it and see if you'll make it through, kind of like put yourself into the test. So,
yeah.
But okay. And then, so you came back, you went into your unit, I'm assuming you were drilling every month, right? And then how long until you became a recruiter from there?
So it's kind of this is like where the story gets a little funnier. People will be like,
Don't tell me it was the first month you were back.
Yeah. So like I came back and I worked my civilian job at a sign shop. We like made signs and shit. And it was like, I hated it.
You made signs.
And I literally worked it for like 2 weeks. Yeah. Yeah. And I worked that for like 2 weeks. And then on the lunch break of that job, I came back into my office or where I was recruited out of. And I was like, yo, you guys need help? Because like I heard that you can do like something where you're private and you can help out, which now we know is ADOS.
Right. Right.
But this is like where you can get your first 29-day orders for the people that don't know and kind of test the waters in recruiting. And you can do that as literally like an E2. So I was an E2 at the time, and this was February of 2019. Yeah, February of 2019. So I was fresh out of basic training. I had like shorter hair than I have now. And I started recruiting, or started ADOS, I guess, before I ever went to my first drill. So with my unit.
Wow.
So I was already like at, yeah, well, if you want to call it that. But I was already like doing this before I went to my first drill. So I was in my CAV unit for about 9 months. March of 2019 to January of 2020. January of 2020 was my last drill with them. And then I got hired on for recruiting.
As AGR?
As OT at that point. And then I just recently got picked up as AGR. So OT, for the people that don't know, one time occasional tour, it's like the same thing, except not.
So
I don't know how to explain it.
It's a big deal. Like Parker makes it sound like it ain't shit and it's just easy to do. Like this is a big deal for the people that are listening right now. You don't just come back from basic training and pick up recruiting orders. Like you either have to know someone or you have to be really fucking good at your job or just a hard worker. Right. And in your case, I think all three, maybe. Did you know anyone?
Yeah. I mean, so obviously like I kept in touch with my recruiters,
okay. Pretty, so your recruiter was still.
So I had good relationships with them. So not my recruiter. He actually had just left. And then, but the dude who was in my position when, like, when I was going through the process, he was ADOS then. And then now he's my coworker. He's actually my boss. One of my bosses, he's an E6 now. So at the time he was like a brand new E5. And so now I work with him. So me and him, you know, we get along, and it's funny because I always like looked up to him in a sense. And then all of a sudden, like, oh, now we're
partners,
buddies, and coworkers. Yeah. And so it's funny because he's one of my good friends too. So it's just weird how it worked. I knew some people, but more than that, it was like they didn't know me. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, like I knew them as contacts. But for sure, I would have to praise my leadership for sure, because there would be no doubt. There's no doubt in my mind I would not be where I am without my leadership. So
that's awesome. I just wanted to point that out because we have a lot, like, especially nowadays, recruiting, you know, they're being picky about who they're picking up. And so we can't just pick up any random private nowadays. You know what I mean? Like, we have to, you kind of have to prove yourself to us, and you have to prove that you got it. Or if you don't got it, then you have to prove that you're a hard worker and you're a fast learner. So, you know, I know a lot of people constantly ask me, you know, how do I become a recruiter? How do I become a recruiter? And it's two ways in the National Guard. It's either one, you go to your recruiting station and you say, hey guys, I'll do whatever it takes to become a recruiter. Or two, you know, you go through your state's website and you hope to God that you get picked up for somehow. Right? Am I wrong?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. No, I didn't even know that you could go through the state's website, to be honest. So yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. So maybe you're recruiting, you know what I mean? Like, we don't even know. What was it about becoming a recruiter? Did you want to become a recruiter, or was it like more of the full-time job security thing for you? Like the passion for the Army?
Yeah. So, and that's kind of what I was alluding to earlier is, it's funny to me because I sat literally across from myself where I'm sitting now, at my desk. That was a different recruiter's desk. And I told them, like,
wait,
I
don't, that was the desk that you got recruited out of?
Right. Yeah. So it's really trippy now.
Oh my God. So and you are now sitting on the other side of that desk as the recruiter. So yeah, you see yourself in that seat every time you recruit.
Yeah, kind of, in a way.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
Yeah. So, and I told them I don't want to do a desk job. Like, that's why I picked a combat job. And then here I am doing a desk job. So it's kind of funny to me, but at the same time, yeah, kind of what you said, to fulfill that, the want to do it more than 1 week in a month, 2 weeks in the summer, part-time. This was a way for me to get that. And then also, you know, have a lot of other opportunities. Obviously, like, I would not be, probably wouldn't be the rank I am now if I didn't take this job. And I get a cool chance to, you know, go to some cool schools coming up and everything like that. And so it's a good way to fulfill the want to go active duty, but also just be in my home state.
So let me ask you this. Why didn't you go active duty straight from that, right? What was it about the Army National Guard? And because I know we're recruiters, right? And we always like to praise the Guard, but let's just be honest, because a lot of people are in our shoes and or feel the same way. So, like, what was it? Why didn't you go active duty? And why did you go Army National Guard?
So for me, it was kind of backwards. I always knew about the Guard, and I didn't really do much research into the big Army. So a lot of people don't know about the Guard, and they're like, oh, I didn't even know this existed. But I already had like 3-4 buddies from school, and my best friend at the time was in the Guard. So I just thought, like, automatically that was the best way to go, because you can, it's flexible, right? You don't have to commit. I still wanted to go to college, etc. But the big reason that I didn't go active duty right away was, and this is probably pretty typical, was I did have a girlfriend at the time.
My girlfriend doesn't let me.
So I was like, yeah, that's what I always tell people now, is don't let people like withhold you or hold you back from making a decision, because you might regret it.
Do you regret it?
No, looking back, no. I don't know. Maybe I'll go active duty sometime, but I'm pretty content with where I'm at. So
that was a week now, but I'll take it. you know, it's funny, like, a lot of times you look back and it's like so many things could have happened, you know, especially as a Cav Scout. That's a combat job, brother. Like, you could have been anywhere in the world doing whatever, who knows what. And it's like, I know that's what you did it for, because you want to get your hands dirty, but you wouldn't get the chance. Like, you've recruited how many people? Like, you've changed so many people's lives. And at the end of the day, like, you wouldn't have done that as a Cav Scout in the active duty army. I tell a lot of recruiters this, because a lot of people feel stuck, and it's like, nobody else could do your job like you do. Like, we all have bring something different to the table that helps people. Yeah. or they relate to us, and then they join. Right. You never know. So, and then you can always, there's so many options. There's so many options. Mm-hmm. But
That's the thing, is there's so many doors. So
yeah. Yeah.
It's not like they're all closed.
And so what are you, so you've been in for how many years now?
2.5.
I want to kill you right now. So 2.5. Okay. And you got promoted to the rank of sergeant in 2 years.
Like 2.5 technically. So I joined in May of 2018, and then I got
what did you join as?
Promotion. An E1. I went an E1, and then I got the stripes for buddies. I don't know if, or not stripes for buddies, stripes for skills.
Okay. Can you explain what that is to the people that don't know?
Yeah. So when you're in RSP, the recruit sustainment program, you're drilling like 1 week in a month before you go to basic training and learning all the basics for basic training. So there I got the opportunity to take and pass a test, just basically proving that I had like done extra homework and had some knowledge of the army. You'd have to like recite your general orders, the soldier's creed. You did facing movements, had to identify land features on a map, stuff like that. And so I took that, passed it, and then I got E2 like 1 week before I went to basic. So I shipped to basic as an E2. Okay. I joined as an E1. Yeah.
And then time and grade while you were in basic and AIT then brought you to what, E3?
Yeah, so I got promoted to E3 actually like probably later than I should have, but I just didn't really ask for it.
Yeah.
Because one thing I will say is that you have to be like, you're in charge of your career. So if you guys are at a unit and
stay
you're
fucking
not,
louder for the people in the not, back.
Yeah. Like, just go to your admin NCOs and like bug them, because the more you bug them, like, their job is literally to hit a button to promote you. And if you're in the first four ranks, like, it's all time based. So do what you can to get your E4 as fast as possible, because E4 actually does open up a lot of opportunities. So that's what I did. So I was E3 by like May. Yeah. So May of 2020. So a year time in service. And then I got waiver to E4 in December of 2020. So I got that 6 months early, and you guys literally just ask for a waiver. Like, be like, what do I got to do to waiver to E4? Cause it's worth it.
There's a good PT score, right? Like there's gotta be a lot behind that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, I passed a PT test, but I think it was probably also the fact that like I did more outside of just my unit. You know, I was obviously recruiting, but if you guys want to do it within your unit, like definitely make sure that you're like, you go up to drill on Advon and you're like doing extra stuff like that, because that'll help out, obviously. If you're just kind of like the dude who shows up, I don't know how they'll feel about it.
Yeah. You can always do more. Like, there's two people that I see in drills. And now that I go back as a recruiter, I see it even more. And it's weird because I didn't see it while I was drilling with them. There's two people, right? There's the one person that's on their phone and does nothing and trying to like shame their way. Like, they're just trying to hide and do nothing. And then there's the other person where some people might say you might kiss ass, but you're not really kissing ass. You're actually trying to go one more and like get the orders or volunteer to do stuff. And that's how you get to schools. Like, a lot of people are like, how do I get air assault? Well, guess what? When the Army National Guard has two slots for air assault, who's the first person that they're going to take? Is it going to be you or someone who sits on their phone all weekend? So you got to start thinking about that if you're looking about all these military schools.
Yeah, literally, like, shout out Nick Bear, you know, go one more and do the rest, right?
Literally. And Nick Bear, by the way, is he was a lieutenant in the Army, in the active duty Army. and in the infantry. So he was an infantry officer, got out of the army, and he started a company called Bayer Performance Nutrition, BPN. Supplements. So if you again, you guys could check it out. But yeah, it's huge. And it's he started from zero. He started from the army. He started from his college room. You know what I mean? So we can be on this podcast and talk about successful army people. Oh, there you go. 25 hours a day. I love that book. Oh, all right. Let's go back to the fact that you got E5 in 2 years. I'm not over that fact. All right. So I'm not over it. So, okay. So obviously you did everything and more that you had to do and you got to E4, then you went to BLC, right?
Yeah. So I kind of went to BLC. Like, I wasn't a corporal for too long. Right. So, and corporal is kind of a stupid rank. Like, if we're being honest, you know, it is what it is, but we can get into that. But no, I got E4 and then I got hired in like January of 2020. And then, so that's when I transferred over to the recruiting retention battalion, like full time. I didn't have to drill with the scouts anymore. Mm-hmm. And I did DLC one, which is like the prerequisite to BLC. If you guys don't know what it is, basic leadership course. Mm-hmm. And I completed that in like March and I didn't go to BLC until October. And I was actually supposed to go to Camp Williams in Utah in July, which I was super hyped for because they say like that's the best place you can go for BLC. Yeah. And then that got canceled because COVID and everything, and the slot got pushed back. So I went to Fort McCoy online virtually in October. But so it was a little different. I'm like an in-person learner. So
yeah,
but you know,
it's totally and BLC, like especially as a, I mean, you know, it's only a couple of weeks. So how much can you learn? But you'd be surprised. It's not how much you can learn. You kind of learn best practices, you know what I mean, from other leaders right. that have done before. Because in BLC, it's not just E4s. It's some sergeants too. So you learn from each other. I actually went to ALC exactly. in August during COVID. So it was weird. Sick.
Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah. I think I saw that too. I remember like you were there and I was like, wait, how come you can go? Like, yeah, it's weird because... Sergeant Knucklehead, if you guys know him, he went to ALC in person too. I'm like, dude, but I can't go to BLC in person. I don't know. Yeah. It is weird.
I think there's just too many BLC slots for to send everyone and just too many people. But so you get promoted to E5 and now what? Like how has that changed anything for you? Like how do you, cause I remember when I first got promoted to sergeant, I was like, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and this, and this. And I've done some stuff, but not everything. And it was just kind of, it was a weird rank because when it comes so fast, you almost don't know how to act. Like your friends or your peers around you, you know, they're in lower rank and you're in between. Like, do I tell you what to do? Like, how do I go about this? So how did that feel for you? And like, what type of leader did you want to be?
Yeah. So it is a weird rank because, like, for example, one of my coworkers and one of my best friends, he's like 24, I'm 20, and so he's older than me, and he's like an E4, right? So it's kind of awkward. Like, I've been doing this longer than him, right? So like technically, whatever. Like, I'm like his boss, and it's weird.
Yeah.
So, but we don't make it weird because the type of leader that I want to be, I don't know. I've been around toxic leaders and non-toxic leaders. And it's funny because most of the toxic leaders that I've encountered were in my unit. And then when I came to recruiting, like I have some of the best leadership here. Like I said, I praise my leadership. I would never be where I am without them, right? I have a first sergeant who fights for everybody. And same with my, my commander and BC and everything like that. So I want to be the NCO that, you know, you don't have to be afraid of coming up to, but also isn't going to be like, I don't know. It's weird. So my philosophy is like praise in public, correct in private. Right. So, and I think we've all heard that. Mm-hmm. And I try to do that as best as I can. I'm not going to like lash out on anybody in public because it's not the time and place.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's recruiting. So it's not like you're going to be smoking your peer that's an E4 for being late to work, right? It's not like the active duty world or anything like that. So I just want to be approachable, I guess.
Yeah. And as a recruiter, it's so easy Look, we can sit here and talk about all the goods and the bads, but recruiting is such an autonomous job where they give you enough rope to literally hang yourself with, right? And so you have to be careful of what you're doing every day. And when you're 20 and a sergeant and a recruiter in ADR world, you pretty much have it all. People wish to be in your spot and they're 26 to 30, you know what I mean? And you kind of have to put it in perspective and just be appreciative of what you have and make the best out of it. But
exactly.
Yeah, I respect. I mean, you make it sound so easy, but I don't know how it is in Minnesota, but in New Jersey, it's not like that. Like, they're very, very, very picky. So, you know, sometimes you don't give yourself enough credit for where you've been, I guess. But
I mean, everybody says that, but it is what it is. I don't like to talk about that. I don't know. It's like, anybody can do it. It's like, it's attainable. Humble, if you set your mind to it.
You're humble.
Yeah. I'm trying to be.
So let's change some gears here and talk about recruiting. And I was just saying how autonomous and how great it is, and everybody thinks recruiting is so easy, but recruiting can suck a lot of times and can suck the life out of you very fast. And it could be good and bad. It's a roller coaster and it's long hours and sometimes late nights. You know what I mean? Like, it gets crazy. So how can someone ensure that they keep up with their mental and physical health while in recruiting, in your opinion?
Yeah. I mean, so recruiting, I don't know. It's different. Like, obviously in every state and even in every office, you might have different kind of leadership. So thankfully, like, we kind of make our own schedule based on what we need to get done. So the mornings are pretty free for me. So I try to work out in the morning before work. It kind of sucks because I love sleeping, but it's worth it because it gives you the time to get work done in the evening and just go home and like do whatever you want. So I always try to work out in the morning before work, and then it sets you up. Like, I feel like that's the mental boost too for your day, because then you've already gotten that out the way. And then you're like, you're feeling good for the rest of the day. So, but I mean, that's a lot easier said than done too. I think that recruiting can be, I just had a conversation with another recruiter at MEPS last week about how we should probably check on each other more, because in recruiting, it's like you can hide your emotions pretty well. Like, you wouldn't know it, but recruiting is the one job that's not combat related that you can claim PTSD from. Fun fact. So yeah, it can be stressful, especially in COVID. So I feel like it's important to take time for yourself, even though it feels like you can't, because you always have a number over your head and everything, but you definitely have to like take your days off, enjoy it with family, friends, even if you think that, you know, you don't deserve it. You're trying your hardest, obviously, or you should be. So I think that's important, just to like know when to hit the brakes a little bit.
So you just said there, even when you think you don't deserve it, right? And I think that's important, because that right there, that's recruiting for you. Like what you just said, you deserve it, bro. Like what you do every day, like we deserve it. What we do is fucking hard. And although it might not look like it, but sometimes, like, you know, it's a little different. We're not like Marine recruiters where they have to get certain appointments a day, certain enlistments a week. It's not like that. However, we still need numbers. Like, we still have to meet our numbers. And so it kind of sucks when, you know, sometimes, you know, you have three people and, you know, two of them are like, yeah, I can't do it because of my girlfriend. The third one doesn't pass the test. And you kind of feel like a piece of shit. Like, I'm not contributing to the mission. I know a lot of recruiters that have gone into depression, and I even know one recruiter that committed suicide. So it's very, very serious.
Yeah.
And I think we need to talk about it. And like you said, we have to check on each other more, and it has to be a better conversation about resiliency with recruiters. But
100%. 100%. And a lot of people, like, I'll talk to them and they'll always ask me, they're like, so what's like your quota? Like, do you got, and I'm like, yeah, well, generally, like for me, my glide path, whatever, to stay on production is 2 a month. And they're like, well, that's like nothing. And I'm like, okay, so you try going out and finding someone in a target, right? In a random target. And you just go up and you just ask them, or maybe you're calling for hours and you finally get one person that's a little bit interested. Yeah. Then you got to get them in the office. And then you got to do paperwork, right? Like this, it takes about a week to 2 weeks on average to process somebody. So you got to find them pretty quick to get to a month.
Yeah.
So I know, I just think it's funny when people
ask me. Right. So in their schedule, because maybe in a week they have a wedding that they're going to Texas for, you know what I mean? Like it changes that fast.
Right.
And then they go to Texas and on their that wedding, there's a veteran that had a bad experience with the Army and all they say is bad stuff and they don't end up joining. So it's just like,
there's tons of variables. It's stressful.
So we said the good and the bad, but in all seriousness, like what advice would you give to someone that, you know, is looking into joining the recruiting and retention battalion, whether that's recruiting or the retention and marketing in social media, whatever way, right? What advice would you give to them or new recruiters?
I would say like be ready to work because you're going to go from a part-time military commitment to a full-time military commitment. And especially in recruiting, like in the field recruiting and production, like you guys got to be willing to work late. Like I can't tell you how many times I've stayed like 8 to 8 or 9 to 8 or whatever, just trying to you work hard in the first two quarters so you can kind of relax in the third and in the fourth quarter, hopefully. So just be ready to work. You got to be a people person too. Like that's the biggest thing. You have to be able to talk to people. Yep. So otherwise you're not going to make it. Like I've seen some really, really good soldiers that cannot be recruiters because they just don't have people skills.
Right. And a lot of people can't deal with no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You have to be willing to take a no for sure.
I had trouble with this too. When I first started, when I was an assistant and I first started recruiting, you know, I took it personal. Like I would take recruiting home with me and be like, why did this person say no? But I would never ask. I would just be like, oh no, okay, all right, whatever, on to the next one. But now I actually ask, I want to know, like, why not, you know what I mean? And that's what they teach in recruiting school too, that you have to ask, like, why, like get down deep, dig deep and find out that reason why not. And because maybe it's a stupid reason and you can turn that around. That's some solid advice. All right, so let's talk about future. Let's talk about some things that you're looking forward to. Like no shit that you want to do. Like, give me like five things I didn't tell you I would ask you this because I wanted you to be on the spot, but I want you to give me some like real shit, five things that you want to do from now until the end of your career. And that's big, right? That's really big. But I mean, I know you already have it in your head. So, just five things that you want to, like, no matter what, you're gonna get done by the end of your career.
For sure. So one is coming up soon here. I got the solid, like the crazy opportunity this summer to go to drill sergeant school. So and then deployment, because I joined to deploy. So at some point deploy, airborne or air assault. Preferably airborne. That's pretty hard to get in my position though, so I'll have to move around for that. And two more. Reach master sergeant, at least first sergeant at E8, and then
master sergeant before you retire.
And then ranger school. That's pretty ambitious, but ranger school, I've always wanted to tap.
Possible though. Ambitious but possible. For example, like in our RSP, our commander was like, you know what, you guys are cadre and you know, we have one slot, but if you guys keep doing what you're doing and you do good, you know, we have a slot. So whoever can pass the ACFD and kind of like max it out, we'll send you. So
that's pretty sick.
Yeah.
That's nice.
So drill sergeant school, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Wearing a hat.
Yeah, it's like I've always wanted to be one. I so
you're
guess,
locked and loaded. You're in the slot. You're going.
Yeah, so I'm literally just waiting on my my checklist to get approved, the signatures, and then I'll have to reserve my dates. But our battalion, yeah, we have 10 slots, so we're adding drill sergeants to Minnesota this year, and it's kind of funny because I like to be humble, right? But I actually brought this up. So we got a new BC in at the start of our fiscal year. So back in October, and he comes to, you know, the office and he introduces himself and he's like, so what do you guys want for incentives this year? And everybody, like, I don't know about how your state does it, but we always do like trips, right? They're like,
yeah, oh, that's same here. Same
go to Alaska, go to Hawaii. I'm like, and I told him like, sir, like respectfully, like if I want to go on a trip, like I would buy my own ticket and yeah. not go with people from work. Right. Like I don't want that. I'm still young. Like send me to schools. And so he asked me, he's like, what kind of schools you want? I'm like, Aristotle and Drill Sergeant School. So then he comes down and it turns out RBC was the guy before he became the BC. He was the dude who pulled the schools for the state. Oh, so he had his connection. And so now our, yeah. So now our battalion has 10 drill sergeant slots. And so yeah, it's pretty awesome. I'm really, but like I said, I have to praise my leadership because I'm literally going to be gone for SQI-4 recruiter school from April to May. And then drill sergeant school from like June to, I don't know, August or whenever it gets over. So yeah. I'm going to be gone for a huge chunk of like quarter four and three. So without them, like there's no way I could be doing all this stuff. So
Very, that's cool. That's cool. I can't wait. Can't wait to see it. So have they ever been like, you know, like you kind of have to make mission before you go, or you have to like maintain it as you're there?
Yeah. So I just have to be at glide path. I don't know how, like I said, you know, you guys do it, but we take turns. So like there's four of us in this office with a mission and we each have 18, right? So if we come in and I might find someone, but it won't even go in my name, right? It'll go in whoever needs it, right? We share contracts, mm-hmm. right? So that's kind of we plan the mission. So I have lower numbers now and I can kind of like all my stuff will be spread out to them. And then when I'm gone, they'll backfill for me, if that makes sense. But I do feel guilty. Like I feel kind of bad because I'm like, bro, I'm going to be gone. Like I don't want to leave you guys hanging. But at the same time, like I've been doing this job for 2 years in March and I have never had like a summer off. So yeah.
And career, it's going to be great for your career progression. Like it's going to uplift you, I think. And give you like a better purpose as well.
Yeah, for sure. And it's another door that's open too. Like if I ever want to go and title 10 as a drill sergeant, like that'll be there too.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Sure.
All right. So last question of the day, what do you want to be remembered as in life in general? Right. So you die one day, we're going to die one day. We're all going to die. And it's kind of like, I'm a big believer in like we all have a purpose and nothing is out of chance. Everything happens for a reason. So you're old, you got a family, whatever, and your kid, grandkids, whatever. What do you want to be remembered as?
It sounds so cheesy. And I think as I've grown up, you put things into perspective more and more. And I just want to be like, I just hope that I can be remembered as a good person and like a good father if I have a family and good brother and son and everything. Like it sounds so stupid, but I think it's a little simple things. Yeah. Like I used to want to be like a rock star someday or something, like a famous, like now I just want a normal life, you know. Yeah. I just want a comfortable normal life and hopefully I can just be remembered as a good person, and then in the army world like a good leader. That's it. I'll be content with that.
That's solid. I like that. All right. So before we close out, where can the peeps find you? You have a TikTok or an Instagram. So what's your handles? Yeah. What's your names? Where can we follow you?
Yeah. So on Instagram, it's Parker with two R's, J Smith. And then on TikTok, it's Sarnt Smitty. So like S-A-R-N-T, Sarnt Smitty with two T's, one Y. So I don't know. Hopefully someday I can hit like 100K on TikTok. That'd be pretty cool. But
yes,
we're grinding slowly right now. So we'll get there maybe.
The thing with TikTok, you just got to post. And one of them will get like 100 views and the next will be a million. It's weird. Yeah. It's weird how TikTok works.
It's so random.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sure. Again, I'm going to put all your handles in the description here of the podcast. And as always, guys, make sure you leave me a review. If you like these and you want more of these conversational type podcasts, I am more than happy to do these. If you want to see Sarnt Smith again, Parker, let me know. Let us know what other topics you want us to cover. And that's it. Y'all have a good one.